appreciate that prayer. Appreciate the song service, and ask that we all approach the Word of God in a prayerful spirit, as Brother Burrell prayed tonight, and trust that you'll pray for us what time we stand before you this evening. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to the book of John, chapter 14. I'd like to consider one verse tonight, Lord being our helper, in John chapter 14, and that verse is verse 26. John 14, verse 26. Jesus says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Now, in this 14th chapter of John, Jesus instructs his disciples in many ways, and the instruction continues on in the chapter 15 and 16. And within this instruction, there is a sense in which the Lord's disciples' hearts are troubled. You can see that at the very beginning of this chapter, when Jesus recognizes their hearts are troubled. Imagine being with someone. You know, we talk about loved ones passing away, or whatever, or seeing that the end is in sight for them and their time on earth, and they're close to us, and we don't want to see them go. But imagine walking with the Son of God, like the disciples did, and now he's telling you he's about to leave. Well, Jesus tells them not to let their heart be troubled, but he doesn't just tell them that. You know, sometimes we'll do that to try to encourage someone. He gives them solid reasons why. And within these reasons, if you go back to verse 16, Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." Now notice Jesus is saying, "I'm going away." He says, "But I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to give you another Comforter." As if to say that Jesus himself is a Comforter. And I would suspect that being in his presence like they were, there is great comfort in that. There is great comfort in hearing Jesus preach and seeing the miracles that he did, and to just walk with someone in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and riches. Imagine their position. And now he's saying he's going to go, but he says, "I'm going to send you another Comforter. I'm going to pray the Father's going to send you another Comforter, and he'll abide with you forever." Now, our text in verse 26, Jesus says, maybe coming, you know, if you have someone who comes to you and some family name or something that you recognize that's familiar to you, you will be closer to that person and drawn to that person because you recognize the name by which they come. Well, Jesus says the Father will send him in his name. And he says here, "He shall teach you all things." You know, I have to confess, I'm not sure that I found a text in the Bible where all things means all things without exception. Now, they might be there, but it seems like to me, majority of the time, it doesn't mean all things without exception. Is the Holy Ghost going to teach you all things without exception? That's not what's under consideration here. But there is something very important we need to notice, and that is the Holy Ghost teaches us. He teaches us. You go back to John chapter 6, I want to notice something with you, and that is
And God is a teacher. God teaches things to his people. John chapter 6, verse 44, verse 45, it says, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." Now notice, God is teaching here. If we want to understand this role of the Holy Spirit, we need to understand the role of a teacher. He says, they shall all be taught of God. Well, what does God teach? Well, very quickly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he tells us something about what he teaches here. In 1 Thessalonians 4, if I can find the text I'm looking for here, verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9. He says, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." Now notice, God's the teacher, and we don't need anyone else to teach us about loving one another. He says, you're all taught of God to do that. God teaches you that. So we see God is the teacher. And back here where Jesus says the Holy Ghost shall teach you all things, and remember, this is directed at the apostles, the disciples. He shall teach you all things, and he'll bring all things to your remembrance. Now, it's very important, if you're going to be a teacher, to get your students' minds in the right place. He'll bring all things to your remembrance. I remember when I was in school, I had this one particular teacher. He was from South Korea, and he was a fun fellow to me. But he would come in there, and he would start asking us questions about. We had some pre-assigned reading, and when we weren't answering his questions, he would say, "Have you done your pre-assigned reading?" And we'd say, "No, not really." He's like, "Okay, we'll have a quiz right now." And then he'd get us nervous real fast when he started talking like that. Well, I'll tell you, when it comes to God being our teacher, he's given us the textbook, and we have some pre-assigned reading. We need to be reading God's Word if we're going to be able to receive the instruction and understand what's being said. We've got to be reading the textbook. God's given us His Word. He teaches us in this way in which we can read His Word and we can and maybe have questions. You know, if you're going to be an effective student, you need to have an inquisitive mind. You inquire among these things that you read. Well, He's going to teach you all things, and He's going to bring all things to your remembrance. You know, some of the reasons why we are so frail and not able to do what we are able to do is because we have things that hinder us. Our memory may not be what it ought to be. But I'm thankful tonight to tell you that the Holy Ghost helps us in that way too. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, it says, "Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. All the things that naturally hinder us, the Holy Spirit can remove those hindrances." Did we not see that on the day of Pentecost? When all those people that were there, in all their different home languages, heard in their own language. Why is that? Because there are no hindrances when the Holy Ghost is present. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Even our natural barriers do not get in the way of the Holy Ghost. You know, sometimes we might get the wrong idea about what the Holy Ghost is and how He functions or how you know when He's near. If the Holy Ghost is here, it doesn't mean we're doing backflips off the church pews. That's not an indicator that He's here. We don't find God to be the author of confusion. He's the author of peace, as in all the churches. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Apostle Paul declares to them that I have preached unto you the gospel. I declare unto you the gospel. The gospel is a declaration. It's not a proposition. It's not an invitation. It's a declaration. He said, I declare unto you the gospel by which ye are saved if ye keep in memory those things which were said to you. There's a salvation that is based on your memory. Now, when your memory is not like it once was and not as sharp as it ought to be, If that's eternal salvation, oh boy, I tell you, growing old is not a good place to be. Losing your memory. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to the salvation, that you are blessed in your future if you remember what was preached to you and the words that were spoken to you and the way the Holy Ghost taught you. That's the salvation you find. Whatever circumstances your life comes to, you can find a salvation in that. You know, my dad, when he had cancer, I remember he was suffering. And he had visited a lot of people in the nursing homes and hospitals through the years. And he had always tried to comfort those people with 2 Corinthians chapter 4 about, we know our light afflictions but for a moment. And he tried to comfort them through the years. But I remember him saying, I'm trying to remember that. I'm trying to remember that in my own suffering. I'm trying to remember that. It's just a light affliction. It's just for a moment. I'll tell you, that's the salvation that you find when you remember what was spoken and what the Word of God teaches. There's a salvation in that. There's a deliverance that you find. And the Holy Ghost will teach you these things and He'll bring these things to your remembrance. You go back to John chapter 2, I want to notice with you very specifically what Jesus said to them and what the Holy Ghost blessed them to remember. Notice here in John chapter 2. Verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. You know, sometimes the Lord speaks in a way that we may say, oh, that's too hard to understand. Well, I find that it's good sometimes for things to be hard to understand, so you'll dig into them to figure them out. He said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. What's he referring to? This is what they thought. Verse 20. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and will thou rear it up in 3 days? This temple, it took 46 years to build it. You're going to raise it up in 3 days? See, they misunderstood him. Notice verse 21. But he spake of the temple of his body. Now notice, Jesus speaks in a way, it's almost, I'm not going to say it's code, but it's in a language or it's spoken in a way that only those near to him will understand it. The Bible says in Psalm 25, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And so here, John says, he spake of the temple of his body, verse 22, when therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. How they remember it. How they remember it. John 14, 26 says, the Holy Ghost will teach you these things and bring them to your remembrance. That's how they remember. That's how they knew. If you go to John chapter 12, we find something else recorded here. You know, when Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the dead, out of the grave after 4 days of being in the grave, that brought with it certain consequences. Good ones, but it brought consequences. When people saw that notable miracle that was done, that caused a response out of the people. A response that you know, you don't see every day. A response that you don't really see today. I remember one time we were at the funeral home and I was talking to a man that he goes around and he has this ministry where he paints something while a recording of whatever he has to say about that painting goes on. He's been going around doing that painting and it's a ministry for him. And he told me, he says, it's hard to get a reaction out of people anymore. It's hard to get them, you know, to react, to respond anymore like it once was. People are just so dull and just so indifferent and complacent, have no concern. But I'm going to tell you, when Jesus resurrected Lazarus from the grave, that gave a response. And the response is, they came to him as he was riding into Jerusalem. Here's what happened. It says, verse 12 of John 12, on the next day, much people that were coming to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. This is the response. When they found out that Lazarus had been resurrected, they came. They heard he was coming in Jerusalem, and Jesus came. And it says, when he found the young ass, he sat thereon as is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sit on an ass's colt. Now, disciples, caught up in the moment, are just just going with the flow, I suppose you could say. But notice what verse 16 says. These things understood not his disciples at the first, but when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. Now notice, in the moment, they didn't remember this. They didn't know about this. But afterwards, they remembered. How did they remember? The Holy Ghost. You know, when it comes to you and I, remembering the Word of God, remembering the things that we've heard preached, and maybe that happens at a very important time. Maybe it happens right before something notable in your life takes place. How is it that you remember? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Comforter that Jesus has sent to come and to help you and to guide you through life's difficulties. You know, we find Jesus telling us about the Holy Ghost. If I could find the text, I think it's in John chapter 15. It's in chapter 16, verse 13. Jesus says, Howbeit when he... You know, Jesus foretold them about Holy Ghost coming. He says, Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now notice what a blessing the Holy Ghost is. He is going to guide you into all truth. You know, if you've ever been on a tour and had a good tour guide, they can point out things to you that you would have never seen on your own. We actually went a little early this weekend to Georgia to try to get ahead of the storm, and we did. And because we had gotten there early, we decided to do some things in Atlanta. And we toured the Atlanta Braves new stadium. And they had a tour guide that was guiding us through there. And we came to this one place called the Hank Aaron Terrace. And there was, you know, all these things in there, memorabilia from Hank Aaron. But he showed us something on the wall that you look at it and it wouldn't look like much. But he says, if you pull up your camera on your phone, the pixels on that phone will show you exactly that shows the number of the home runs. And we, sure enough, you pulled it up and you could see it. Now, if he hadn't been there to tell us that, we'd have never known it. We'd have never seen it. We'd have never grasped the beauty of it. Well, I'll tell you, when it comes to the Holy Ghost, he's the guide into all truth. He's going to show you things you've never seen on your own. He's going to guide you and show you along the way. And that guiding and that leading takes you in the way that we should go. He's not going to speak of himself. What he hears, that shall he speak. And what does he hear? Well, Holy Spirit, what does he hear? He comes from heaven itself to meet with us and to guide us and to tell us what's going on in heaven right now. He brings the things to remembrance. He guides us into all truth. And he shows us things to come. I'll tell you, you want to have the past, the present, the future covered? He's got it covered. Holy Spirit's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to comfort you and he's going to do all these things because he is the one that Jesus sent just for us. I'll tell you, there's one that we need tonight. It's the Holy Ghost. I remember in Luke chapter 11, Jesus tells us to pray to the Father and he'll send you the Holy Spirit. He'll send you the Holy Spirit. And I reminded the words of David in Psalm 51 when he was in a low place and he was very sorrowful. He prayed, Lord, renew a right spirit within me. Uphold me with thy free spirit and to send me thy Holy Spirit. I'll tell you, what we stand in need of tonight and each day of our life is the Holy Spirit's presence manifest to us. May the Lord bless it to be so. I thank you for your good attention tonight.